The Killing Season by Arthur Jefferson. Episode 2. Fire at the church hall and the death of an intruder at the local computer center has made quite a start to Christmas for the Melford police. Now, Emily Dickinson, an old lady, appears to have committed suicide and her death to link up with a photograph found at the church fire.
I took the burnt pieces of the photograph from my pocket and studied them. Nuttall was right. The woman grinning up at the camera was the spitting image of Emily Dickinson, who had killed herself with an overdose. We reached her cottage around 7:30 on a freezing cold Christmas morning.
You got the key?
Yeah.
Funny if she's the same woman as in that photograph.
All old women look alike. Box seems jammed.
Oh, here, let me try.
I suggest nobody moves.
Mr. Farnham?
Inspector Carter. Constable Nuttall.
Do you have a license for that gun, sir?
Oh, I do beg your pardon. I put it away at once.
Perhaps you'd explain what you're doing here, sir.
I came to see Miss Dickinson. Knocked, no reply. Front door seemed to be open, so I assumed the dear old lady wouldn't mind me coming in from the cold and waiting in her charming but freezing cottage.
You say the front door was open, sir? That's odd, because I closed and locked it myself.
It is odd, isn't it? But then doors never seem to stay locked when I'm around. You were here earlier, then?
Correct.
Verging on the sub-zero in here. Do you think Miss Dickinson would mind if we lit her fire?
I'm sure she wouldn't.
Perhaps you do the honors, Constable. That matches on the fender.
Yes, sir.
Well, Inspector, I'm here because of a little mystery we appear to have on our hands.
We, sir?
Of course, all chums together. Our Russian visitor made a phone call last night.
You mean the bloke who broke into the computer, sir?
Oh, concentrate on the fire.
Yes, sir.
Yes, our midnight intruder. I checked the printout of telephone calls. At 12 minutes to midnight, someone in the data storage section phoned Melford 76. So whatever information he obtained could well have been passed on.
Melford 76.
This telephone, subscriber Miss Emily Dickinson. I ran her through the computer. Boringly respectable old lady, never been out of the country in the whole of her 72 years. Nothing at all to suggest why a Russian agent should phone her at midnight. So there's our mystery. I dialed the number myself. Very dubious sounding character answered, so I made my excuse and came straight over.
It was me who answered the phone.
Oh. Well, it's a very bad line. Anyway, when I arrived, the cottage was empty, the bedclothes in disarray, as if someone had been dragged from the bed. I was poking about when I heard someone creeping in. You would be constable, of course. Oh, well done, constable. Fire's coming along nicely.
Thank you, sir. Oh,
perhaps we could now have your story, Inspector.
The milkman found a note on her door and called us in. She'd taken an overdose of sleeping tablets. We rushed her to hospital, but there was nothing they could do.
You're saying she committed suicide?
Yes.
Fire was laid. Breakfast things set out on the table. If I was going to kill myself, I don't think I'd lay the fire and set out crockery for a breakfast I'd never live to enjoy.
I imagine she was a creature of habit, sir.
Yes, yes, of course. I'm looking for mysteries that just don't exist. But the annoying fact remains that a Russian agent phoned her last night.
Perhaps he dialed the wrong number.
Then he would have dialed again, but he didn't.
Well, he might not have had the chance to dial again. As soon as your people discovered him, they cut off the phones.
The call lasted 3 minutes. Rather a long time, just to be informed you got a wrong number. I don't suppose you would have a fingerprint kit with you by any stroke of luck.
There's one in the car.
Well, I'd be so grateful if you'd go and fetch it for me.
Sure.
Such an obliging lad. I suppose you're quite certain it was suicide.
She even left a note.
May I see it?
Sure. Here.
Oh, marvelous handwriting. To the police. I have taken sleeping tablets. Better to end it all quickly than face a lingering winter of pain. Signed, Emily Dickinson.
One fingerprint out, please,
sir. Well, have a go at the telephone, would you?
Right.
Well, if I were asked, I'd certainly say that was a suicide note. I wonder what you meant by winter of pain.
The hospital doctor thought she was suffering from arthritis.
Ah, yes, that can be very painful, especially in the winter months. We can sew on limbs, send men to the moon, but we can't cure arthritis.
Just one set of prints, sir.
And they're mine. I answered your phone call, if you remember, Mr. Farnham.
So you did. But wouldn't you expect to find other fingerprints? The old lady's, for example, when she spent 3 minutes telling our Russian he had the wrong number? I'm sure there's a perfectly logical explanation somewhere. If you have anything pressing to do, gentlemen, then carry on. Don't mind me.
We soon found what we were looking for. An envelope containing Emily Dickinson's will and the address of our only surviving sister in Canada. We made our departure, but Farnham was disinclined to leave.
Pity to waste such an excellent fire, Inspector. I shall sit here, stare into the flames, and recall all the joys of Christmas past. Don't worry, I'll lock up afterwards.
Oh, joining any reindeer game.
It may be Christmas morning, but you sound indecently happy, Constable. Has your airline hostess managed to switch flights?
Better than that, Inspector. That nurse at the hospital. The blonde bombshell who took us in to see the old boy. I'm picking her up outside the hospital at noon. Taking her back to my place.
What about your landlady?
Gone to visit her sister. I've got the entire house. Choice of 3 beds.
You make sure you're fit for duty tonight.
I'll be invigorated. A new man. I love Christmas.
Rudolph, the reindeer. Out of the
reindeer. Excuse me, Inspector. You in?
Who to?
Your ex-wife.
She's not here, is she?
On the phone, Robert.
Right. I'll talk to her. Any chance of some tea?
The kettle's on now. You should be making the tea, Nuttall. It's a constable's job, not a sergeant.
Oh, I've got to conserve my strength for the afternoon, Sarge. Every day,
dirty young devil. It's on that phone, Inspector.
You'll go down.
Hello? Hello, Con. Merry Christmas. Oh, glad you like it. Now, of course, I understand you don't have to buy me a present. What are you doing for Christmas? All on your own. What about Harry? Oh, sorry to hear that. What? Oh, that's very kind of you, Con, but no, thank you. I've been on duty all night and I'm dead tired. Yes, same old excuse. Goodbye, Con. Yes!
Good morning yet again, gentlemen.
Mr. Farnham.
And I come bearing gifts. Here, help yourself.
An inspired.
Homemade and absolutely delicious. All that's needed to make our bliss complete is a cup of steaming hot tea.
There you are. Grab it while it's hot.
Oh, why, thank you, Sergeant.
Well, that's my cup, actually, sir.
Oh, never mind. Have a homemade mince pie.
Oh, thank you.
You can eat it outside.
Eh?
Last thing I want to do, Sergeant, is bore you with our confidential business.
Oh, I see. All right.
Makes a good cup of tea. Don't stand on ceremony with the mince pies, Constable. Dig in.
Oh, thank you, sir. Nothing like homemade. Did your wife make them, sir?
Good Lord, no. My wife's a terrible cook. They're Miss Dickinson's.
The dead woman?
I think that dear old lady was murdered, Inspector.
Do you, Mr. Farnham?
A couple of things I noticed during my prowl round the cottage. Item one, a travelling alarm clock.
Well, that was by the side of the old lady's bed.
Exactly. But the important thing is that it had stopped. It showed the time as 1:05. And the reason it stopped was simply because it hadn't been wound up. There. You see? It's ticking away merrily now.
They do when they're wound up, sir.
Oh, you're missing my point, Inspector. Don't you think it's strange that this dear old lady with her neat, orderly mind and regular habits should neglect to wind her bedside clock?
She'd taken an overdose of sleeping tablets. More than likely, she drifted off into unconsciousness before she had a chance to wind the damn thing.
Oh, yes, that could be the reason. Such crushing logic. I scarcely have the courage to tell you what else I found.
Go ahead, sir. That's what we're here for.
My curiosity was aroused when I found this on the floor in the old lady's bedroom.
Paper tissue.
Open it up. There, you see? A tiny dab of blood in the center. The old lady didn't seem the type to use paper tissues. That's fresh blood, Inspector.
What are you suggesting?
That someone injected her with some form of sedative so they could then pump her full of sleeping tablets. Murder, Inspector.
What about the suicide note?
If the Russians can forge Hitler's diaries, I'm sure they can take a little thing like a suicide note in their stride. It'd be nice to have a prompt post-mortem.
Right, I'll see to it.
And by prompt, I mean now, within the next hour.
You do know it's Christmas morning, Mr. Farnham.
The pathologist is a Mr. Waterhouse, isn't he?
That's right.
I took the liberty of running him through our computer. He made a nasty botch-up early in his career, which he thinks has been forgotten. But the computer never forgets. He's also got his heart set on a research post with one of the big universities. I think one way or the other I can persuade him to cooperate. Besides, a quick post-mortem will get him all set up for carving the Christmas turkey. I'll be in touch, gentlemen.
You didn't tell him she was the old lady in the photograph.
He's trying to be a detective. Let him find out for himself. I wasn't taking Farnham seriously at that stage. I could still laugh at him. I didn't realize how dangerous he could be. I didn't realize there would be more deaths. We were due to knock off at 12. It was a few minutes before then that the lovely Debbie Garwood returned.
I've tried all the hospitals, Sergeant. I've tried all his friends. No one's seen him.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
He's missing. I want you to find him.
Well, I hate to suggest this, Debbie, but, well, he might have gone off with another woman.
He'd never look at another woman.
Oh.
He's made lots of enemies, Sergeant. You know that. They could have done him up. He could be lying somewhere. I'm worried out of my mind.
Well, hello, Mrs. Garwood. Has he not turned up yet?
No, Mr. Carter. I'm worried sick.
No, he'll be back. He's probably doing a spot of burglary.
He's never stayed out all night. He'd never leave me on my own. He knows how frightened I get.
Well, there's not a lot we can do at this stage, Mrs. Garwood, but we'll ask around. Get our men to keep their eyes open. If there's any news, we'll let you know. Now you go back home and wait.
I'm sure he'll turn up soon.
Thank you, Inspector. Thank you.
It's all right, I'll
take you. Oh, I'd never leave her alone all night. Oh, I bet you wouldn't, you dirty young devil. God, blimey. What's that stink?
Yeah.
Do you like it? It's my aftershave. I'm picking up my blonde nurse in 3 minutes.
And in the meantime, we've got to put up with that.
You can always let me off early.
You hang on till your relief comes.
Good morning yet again, gentlemen.
Oh.
Who was that ravishing creature I passed on the way in?
Wife of our local villain. He's gone missing.
Unfortunate for her. Strange smell.
It's Constable Nuttall's aftershave, sir. He's got a heavy date.
Picking up a nurse at 12.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
Perhaps we could go into your office, Inspector.
You won't need me, will you, sir? Please?
Just for a while, Constable. I've just come from the post-mortem.
And?
Hypodermic needle puncture in the upper left arm. We're having blood samples analyzed.
I see.
You held something back from me, Inspector.
Did I?
Why didn't you tell me she was the woman in that burnt photograph?
I'm sorry. I didn't think it important.
In future, you will tell me everything. I will judge whether it's important or not. Is there anything else that might have slipped your mind?
Yes. When we dashed her off to the hospital, she came to for a couple of seconds, opened her eyes and muttered something like, "No, please, no."
Huh?
At the time, I thought she wanted to die. She didn't want to be brought round. But in view of your murder theory...
She could have mistaken you for an attacker. Yes, that's possible. Well, as we're going to be working closely together over the next few days...
Are we?
Yes. You're both assigned to me for special duties until further notice.
When does this special duty start, sir?
This very minute, Constable. I'd like to take a look at your burnt-out church hall. I'm sure our dead Russian didn't smell of paraffin for nothing.
There it is. What's left of it.
What a mess. Doesn't it look terrible?
Didn't look much better before the fire. The back entrance is over there. That's how he would have got in.
We found the paraffin cans about here. The burnt photograph, there.
Mm. Well, is it safe to go inside?
I don't know. Those beams look dodgy.
I think we can risk it.
What are we supposed to be looking for?
I don't know. This would be the main hall.
Yes. Amateur dramatics, mother's meetings. There's the stage. Beyond it, there's a kitchen for the meals on wheels.
Where did the fire actually start?
According to the firemen, in that small storeroom over there.
All right, then. Let's take a look. I see. Was that door locked, would you know?
I believe so.
So, our arsonist had to carry his cans of paraffin right across the hall and force this door open to start his fire.
He wanted to make sure the fire destroyed something.
Something in this room. Top marks, Constable. Do you think you can get to those filing cabinets?
I'll have a go.
The drawer tops are bent and chewed up. They've been forced open.
Mysteriouser and mysteriouser. See if you can open them.
Jammed. The heat, I suppose. It's coming. Empty. Nothing in it at all.
Try the others.
Empty. Everyone.
The cabinet's forced open. The contents taken out, dust in paraffin and burnt.
What possible interest could church papers have to your Russian agent?
Good question. Perhaps the vicar can help us.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in. Sit down, please. I apologize for the mess.
Thank you, vicar.
Not really organized, you know. Sorry about the noise.
Playing with their presents?
Yes, they're so excited, what with the fire, new house, and our Christmas Day. Only moved in last week, and there's still most of the old vicar's stuff to dispose of. Being Christmas, it's all been rather a rushed affair, I'm afraid.
You're new to Melford, then, vicar?
Yes, brand new.
I see. Now, the fire. Got a photograph here, vicar. Wonder if you'd take a look at it.
My heart skipped a beat as Farnham placed a colour photograph on the vicar's desk. It was the Russian I had shot the previous night. They'd made him look alive, but I could see where the photograph had been touched up to conceal the bullet hole in the centre of the forehead.
That's him. That's the man I saw running away from the fire.
Are you sure?
Positive. Yes, that is him.
Thank you, vicar. He won't start any more fires, I can promise you that. Now, most of the damage was in the storeroom. Any idea of what was kept in there?
Papers for the Women's Guild, Wildlife Foundation records, Sunday school registers.
We might do better speaking to the previous vicar about them. Do you have his address?
But he's dead. I'm sorry, I assumed you knew.
Dead?
Yes, I'm merely acting as locum, as it were, until such time as a new and permanent vicar is appointed. As a matter of fact, I shall be officiating at the funeral on Friday.
How did he die?
A road accident. He was cycling to visit a parishioner when he was knocked down by a car.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was he very old?
Well, he in his 70s, but very active. He He ran the Scouts, the Wildlife Society, amateur dramatics. I dare say I'll be taking those over for the time being as well.
Do you have that burnt photograph we found, Inspector? Oh. I'd like the vicar to see it.
Yes. Here. Yeah.
I wonder if you know either of them, Vicar.
I think the lady looked in to see us the day we arrived. She's on some church committee, I believe. Now, what was her name?
Emily Dickinson?
That's right. And the man, yes. Yes, he was here to finalize some arrangements for the old vicar's funeral. He was representing the Scouts. Or was it the Wildlife Trust? It was both, I think. Anyway, he's one of the pallbearers.
Would you know his name?
Yes, I wrote it down somewhere. Thomas Crisp, flat 141, Elgin Court.
Elgin Court was a 14-story tower block, and flat 141 was on the 14th floor. In common with most of the country on that cold Christmas day, the lift wasn't working.
Where's Farnham?
Floundering along behind somewhere.
He's got no right to make us work Christmas afternoon. We've done our stint. I've got no way of letting that nurse know what's happened.
I haven't turned up by 5 o'clock, she'll guess. Top at last. And here's number 141.
Open up. We're from Littlewood's Pools, your one first dividend. I don't think he's in.
Murphy's Law. If the lift's broken and he's on the 14th floor, he's got to be out. Hello, who's this?
Oh, there you are, about time. I thought you was never coming.
Hey?
The water's just pouring through like Niagara Falls. It's no use knocking on Mr. Crisp's door. If he was in, I wouldn't have had to call you. Look, I'm not that stupid.
Not going away for Christmas, is it?
Well, don't ask me. Last night he was moaning to be here all day on his own. No relatives, you see. So the wife and me, we invited him to have Christmas dinner with us. Oh, what happens? This morning he's not in. Now, wouldn't you think he'd have the decency to let us know he was going away, eh?
Yes,
we got extra
me,
sprouts, extra large Christmas pudding, the lot. Yes. Not that any of it's going to be any good now. I mean, the turkey's soaked, the pudding's sodden. He must have left his taps running off.
Just a moment, Mr.
Thomas, here. Yeah, Henry Thomas, I'm in 131, the floor directly below, floor 12A.
Yeah, and the water from this flat is coming through your ceiling.
How many more times? I phoned the water board. I put it on their tape.
We're not from the water board. We're the police.
Oh, well. Can you break in there and turn his tap off?
I'm sorry, we haven't got the authority to do that, Mr. Thomas.
Well, something's got to be done. I mean, my wife's down there trying to cook in her Wellington boots. Use this.
Mr. Thomas, my name's Farnham. I'm from the water board.
Water board?
Oh, you be the police. My office said you'd be here to assist. Now, leave it to us now, Mr. Thomas. We'll soon get in there and turn that tap off.
Yeah, well, I'll come in with you.
No. You get downstairs and give us a shout the minute it stops coming through. We're depending on you.
Oh, right. Yeah, I will. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What's all this water board stuff?
I want to look inside his flat. Anyone whose photograph is dropped by a Russian agent is of consuming interest to us chaps from the water board.
So how are you going to get in? The door's locked.
Let me see. Sometimes it only seems to be locked. My goodness, it just swung open as I was looking at it. In we go.
He's got the blinds drawn. Try and find the light switch.
Got it. Doesn't work. Bulb must have gone.
In that case... Open the curtains and raise the blind. Lord said, let there be light, and lo, there was light. Now we can see what we're doing. If you find that leaking tap, I'll set it around. We waterboard officials are so nosy.
Water seems to be coming from under this door here.
nothing. This light doesn't work either. Hang on, I'll use my lighter. Oh, my God. He's in here. In the bathroom.
Thomas Crisp lay in the bath, dead. His mouth and eyes were open wide. A one-bar electric fire, still plugged into its socket, lay face down on the charred flesh of his bare chest. And all the time, a dripping tap made the bathwater overflow to the floor.
Turn the tap off.
Electric fires in bathrooms. Just asking for trouble.
You surely don't think this was an accident, do you, Constable?
It's very much like one to me, sir.
And the old lady's death looked very much like suicide.
You're not suggesting there's any connection?
Both on the same photograph? Both dead the same night?
Coincidence.
I don't like coincidences, Inspector. They play havoc with my reasoning. We'll need a doctor.
Oh, phone for the police surgeon?
No, not the police surgeon. The fewer people involved in this, the better. Get the hospital pathologist over. Tell him I want him, and it's urgent.
He won't like coming out again on Christmas Day.
He won't like the 14 flights of stairs, either.
Did you have to break in? Was it really necessary? He'd have been just as dead tomorrow or the day after. This is the second time you've dragged me out on Christmas Day, Mr. Farnham, and I'm soaking wet.
How and when did he die, Doctor?
Difficult to time the moment of death, precisely. The body's been in hot water. At a guess, I'd say he's been dead about 12, 14 hours, perhaps longer.
He died at 25 past midnight.
Oh, a medical expert on times of death now, are you, Inspector?
When the fire fell into the bath, it blew the main fuse. The electric clock in his bedroom stopped at 12:25.
Oh, well, I should be able to confirm or deny that when I perform the post-mortem.
Cause of death?
Electrocution.
An accident?
What else?
I was thinking of murder made to look like an accident.
If it was, they made a damn good job of it.
All the people I have in mind would make an excellent job of it. Any hypodermic needle marks?
Hypodermic needle marks again?
Yes.
That's going to be difficult. The flesh is waterlogged.
Difficult, but not impossible. I'd like to be present at the postmortem, Doctor. Say, in an hour's time?
This afternoon, Christmas Day? You're expecting me to do a second post-mortem for you on Christmas Day? Not a chance.
I do hope you get that research post you're after, Doctor.
You might be able to use your blackmail on me, Mr. Farnham, but there's no way you'll get my ambulance men to carry a body down 14 flights of stairs just for a post-mortem.
No problem. Mr. Carter, Mr. Nuttall, got a little job for you.
That was how our Christmas got underway. Other people were having a hectic Christmas as well. The Pope gave his usual Christmas blessing in St. Peter's Square. The Swedes belted down a couple of dozen depth charges on a Russian submarine they thought was in one of their fjords. Queues had started in Oxford Street for the January sales, and weathermen were forecasting heavy snow. Our Christmas wasn't over yet, though. Neither were the killings.
In episode 2 of The Killing Season by Arthur Jefferson, the cast was Detective Inspector Carter, Sean Barrett, Detective Constable Nuttall, Michael Jenner, Police Sergeant Plummer, John Hollis, and Farnham, Alan Cuthbertson. The Doctor, Mark Jones, Debbie Garwood, Rosalind Thomas, the Vicar, Anthony Hall, and Henry Thomas, Timothy Bateson. The Killing Season is directed by Jerry Jones.